Subcommittee of Ways and Means. And then you got the thing on tape, so I'm glad about that. And we'll proceed as a subcommittee of the full committee that Mr. Butler asked me to handle. And we're on to central services.
Yes, Mr. Chair, the first central services limitation area is the Communications Division, and we have Deputy Director here, Pat Cooney.
Good afternoon, Chair Patridge, committee staff. Glad to be here this afternoon to help explain what the Communication Division and Office of the Director is composed of, what it does, and how it contributes to the mission of the agency. The Communication Division actually houses several functions across and support all program lines within the Department of Transportation. Our functions are broadly grouped as public information, government relations or government-to-government relations, community relations, employee communications for the 4,700 ODOT employees deployed around the state, the function of the Office of the Director, media relations, the Oregon Transportation Commission support function, the Citizens Representative Program, which is an extension of the Governor's Office, and the Dispute Resolution Program. The division is composed of 32.75 FTE, which represents 0.7% of the department's manpower, and represents 0.3% of the department's budget. Most of the division is deployed in the field into the five geographic regions of the department and to DMV. Other points, other programs in the department share public affairs staff resources, and the number of headquarters staff conducting public affairs operations is the same as it was 10 years ago, with the exception of a web administrator. The mission of the division is to educate and inform Oregonians about the programs of the Department of Transportation and transportation issues, actions, and policies that affect them. You see the organization chart on page 156. In addition to the director, which is part of the division for organization and budget purposes, we have four main subgroups. The smallest is the assistant to the director and clerical support. Next is government relations. Next is public affairs section, which does most of the media and community relations and all the employee communications functions. And then grouped as a business management team are some clerical staff, budget support, and as well as a manager to supervise. The information age is hitting the department as hard as it is everyone else, and the demand for information has grown exponentially. There are no longer business hours. Expectations have been set to the point that no one wants generic information. All our stakeholder groups want information tailored to their specific needs, and they want it when they want it, 24 hours a day, not when we're ready to present it. We provide services to the department and the citizens and users of the system through various means. We have dozens and dozens of diverse audiences, stakeholders, system users, or customers, and may make a point that they're not limited to the borders of Oregon. 240 city and 36 county governments, elected officials, and so on, many of them are listed there, and again, that's not even all-inclusive. We use various means to deliver information, such as interviews and news releases, monthly employee newsletter named Transcript. We have an internet site, an intranet site for employees. We do lots of electronic publishing. We distribute information via faxes and through electronic distribution of weekly information summaries to employees called Inside ODOT. And, of course, we set up, organize, and participate in public meetings, town hall meetings. We publish fact sheets, brochures, posters, et cetera. One of the items that we've started in the last biennium is our quarterly report to stockholders. Maybe you've seen it. If not, I can provide you copies, which the primary means of distributing this is electronically on the website, but we do mail some copies to some interest groups to help explain what we do with the citizens' money that they give us. Several of these initiatives are our own initiatives and have been copied by other states or other state agencies. I will talk a little bit more about performance measures in a second, but I could go on to page 158. You'll see an extremely high 100% allocation of administrative costs, and that is by definition the members that make up the division are considered administrative costs. You'll also notice that my budget, the division's budget, has dropped slightly, but consistency over the last three biennia, as well as the FTE, have dropped as well. Interagency and intergovernmental programs is a key part of what the division accomplishes. I'm on page 159. That's the huge amount of the work conducted by the government relations section. but the public affairs section gets involved in that as well. We've initiated several efficiencies and cost controls over the last biennial. We've reduced staffing. We've bought some in-house digital cameras that reduce the cost of contracting out photo services. We've cross-trained our folks. We have built redundancy into the entire staffing process so that, for example, should a public affairs officer from Region 4 take ill or go on vacation, someone else is ready to stand by and cover that whole third of the state. We established broadcast fax capabilities so that we could let news organizations and community organizations know of information very quickly, but that's fairly expensive. So we reduced that that cost by only sending out one-page fax broadcast fax releases and providing the information on our website in more detail should they need it. We're in the next biennium, we'll reduce transcript to a quarterly printed publication to eliminate the printing and distribution costs of that publication and expand our electronic newsletter to employees. The Communications Division's budget is 14% less than the 9901 legislatively adopted budget. We've also reduced travel and training funds, and in general, we are on a trend to migrate printed documents wherever we can to electronic availability to reduce those costs. Factors that drive, on page 160, factors that drive communication program, of course, are the increasing needs and expectations of the public, the news media, internal customers, external stakeholders, and elected officials for large quantities of information delivered faster than ever before. It's also very challenging to cut through the level of information overload that's out there. The average American now is bombarded with over 200 messages a day via billboards, email notes, emails, radio, television advertising, and so on. Specific incidents and emergencies that we can't predict, such as the coastal slides, the closed Highway 101 last winter, the dust storm on I-84, and those kinds of things drive our costs. We didn't anticipate, for example, that we would spend $8,000 in just in fax expenses last winter for daily information updates to the coastal communities regarding the progress in correcting the slide. Ongoing needs for public information and education on behalf of traffic safety, work zone safety, winter driving tips, and so on. Extensive construction and repair projects involve well-planned and long community outreach and public information outreach, such as I-5-217 project now going on, the Crooked River Gorge Bridge, to let folks know the progress of those. There's an increasing need now for bilingual Spanish, in particular communications, particularly in the areas of driver and motor vehicle safety. We've taken it on our own with our own resources to try to start a program of news releases and pamphlets and other such things in Spanish to the Spanish press to reach that segment of the population. And of course, one thing that's not anticipated is the impacts of new legislation on the communities and the citizens. For example, House Bill 2082, which became Ballot Measure 82, had lots of civic and media interest, and the Teed and Driving Bill, House Bill 2440 last session, involved quite a bit of public information programming. Just 3 weeks ago, we had to post a load limit on I-5 in Southern Oregon on a bridge. We ended up taking over 600 calls from companies, trucking companies all around the western United States and the press. It took three people the better part of a week and overall six news releases just to handle that one particular project. With regard to performance measures, we are somewhat plagued by the same problem that the private sector public relations business is plagued with, which is how to measure the effectiveness of public information and public affairs programs. What we have done is we've taken it upon ourselves to conduct several surveys to establish benchmarks on performance. We conduct a biennial internal communications audit among our own employees. Three biennia ago, we paid a consultant $40,000 for that. We're doing it in-house now. We conducted our first survey in 1999 of the Oregon news media. I was told by them that no other state government had done that to find out how we were performing as far as accuracy, timeliness, and newsworthiness, excuse me, as well as to find out how they like to receive information. We have a lot of small media outlets around the state that still don't have internet access, that have to rely on fax machines or personal phone calls. I'm happy to say that nearly two-thirds rated ODOT's public affairs performance is much better than or better than other state government agencies, and only almost three-quarters were very satisfied or satisfied with what they received from us.
What was your return? How many did you send out? What was your return rate?
I don't have that with me, but I'll get that for you. We also, on certain large projects or large events, we do a post-performance survey with the communities involved. For example, last year we did one after we reopened Highway 101 in the Cape Cove area and found that 90% of the respondents felt they received enough information about the slide repair, that 81% felt they received the information in a timely manner, and 73% rated us as excellent or good. And our citizens rep... Sir?
Do you have any of that broken out by property, affected property owners?
I don't believe we tabulated that.
Okay.
Well, I'll check.
I'd just be interested in the future, or maybe we want to put this in as a budget note, that ODOT do a survey following the completion of large projects, that they do a survey of affected landowners along the route in terms of a satisfaction survey. That would include both pre-information and post-information,
yeah,
and then continued pieces along the way.
All right, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Our citizens representative program has one person. Another person is trained to backfill her if she goes on vacation or is ill. Handles over 3,400 cases each year. Cases could be a simple answer on the phone or getting back to the person. And we track those case loads and report out to the director quarterly. The goal is to receive at least an interim response within 5 working days of the original request. And for year 2000, we were in that goal, met that goal 97% of the time. Unique site visits to the ODOT website have exploded. They've increased 187% from the third quarter of 99 to the third quarter of 2000. Of course, our tripcheck.com, for which we are becoming nationally known, represents a large part of that. But in the last quarter of 2000, we were up to 1.75 million site visits. If I could highlight a few of the major accomplishments, in 1999 we won the National Transportation Public Affairs Award for the best transportation department website in the nation, produced and maintained in-house. And last year we won a coveted Public Relations Society of America Spotlight Award, which was given by the Portland Metro Chapter. We conducted 2 successful work zone safety campaigns last summer in conjunction with the Oregon State Police and the Associated General Contractors, who helped pay for the advertising that was placed in newspapers. If you recall, we had a fatality very early in the work zone season, and so we doubled our efforts, and that was very successful. We successfully negotiated the Y2K, which had many public safety implications, and got through that program. We created the first electronic newsroom for representatives of the press. That's a place for them to go to get press releases or the latest information. We posted there first. It saved someone from answering a telephone. And, of course, the quarterly report to stockholders, which I mentioned. On page 163, moved 700,000 to other programs. The position transfer from Central Services is a bit confusing. We had made a bookkeeping error, and that position, which I always thought was in my organization, ended up in another. So this makes the correction and moves it back to my organization. And there is a policy package to reduce my budget $200,000 and other funds to contribute to the projected expenses for pavement and bridge condition levels. One other point I would like to mention, just the little costs that aren't readily understood, is the state highway map is in my budget. I spend $80,000 a biennium for this to print, store, and distribute these around the state as needed. So it's just things like that where we provide customer service at no charge, and try to do the best we can to keep Oregonians informed about the things that affect their lives. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
What's your vacancy factor?
I have, at this particular point, I have one position that's vacant. We've recruited for it, and there's 51 applicants in the pool Another position, the local government liaison position, because of the fielding of our area managers in the field, they're doing the same kind of work. Although the position is still on the organization chart, I've used it to address some other reclass problems we had throughout the division, so that position will.
Vacancy factor is what, two?
I have two.
Okay.
Sorry.
And really, you have one because you're.
I really have one.
Okay. And you have a reclass in the budget? You don't have a reclass in the budget?
I don't have a reclass in the budget. They've all been completed.
Okay. And I'd just like to go over real quick, what do you have in government affairs?
In government relations, Mr. Chair, I have a manager of the section. I have two transportation analysts who do all the fiscal analysis of the bills during the legislative process, who analyze and track all the federal and state and local dollars that go to the various programs, that interpret federal legislation to see what the impacts and formula impacts are in Oregon, and also who interpret all the federal and state programs for most of the local governments who don't have that expertise on their staffs. I have a federal liaison position who deals primarily with the congressional delegation, who...
Is that an ODOT employer or is that a contract employee?
That's an ODOT employee. We also have a contract with a firm from Portland, Ball Janik, which expires in June 30th of 2002. They maintain our presence in Washington, D.C., so we don't have to have someone there. And the contract is about $120,000 a year, but they bring back tens of millions of dollars in benefit. A dispute resolution coordinator, that position is paid for half by ODOT and half by court filing fees. And serves a cluster of agencies to include us, the Oregon Community and Economic Development Department, Department of Aviation, Public Utility Commission, Travel Information Council, Housing and Community Services, Community Development Office, and the State Lottery to resolve disputes. I have another legislative liaison. You've probably met her. That's Kelly Taylor. She handles all the legislative work for DMV and Motor Carrier Transportation Division. And then the local government position that I mentioned that is currently.
So is that six? Seven?
It's seven, including the manager.
Seven, including the manager, plus the federal lobby contract?
Correct.
What percentage of your budget is that?
I don't have a percentage. It's roughly $120,000 a year. It's a flat fee, monthly flat fee of $10,500.
No, but what percentage of your budget is your government relations division?
I'd have to figure that out for you, Mr. Chair.
If we can calculate that.
Give me that.
Okay. Give me that later. Are the communications people at the local level, do they report to you within your division, or do they report through the regional structure?
They report to the public affairs manager that you see at the top of that grouping, who reports directly to me, so that there's central direction, but his prime client is that region manager.
So, Bill, whatever.
Jared Castle in your,
no.
In Region 3?
Not Jared Castle. You have a person who's on the ground actually as part of a project. He did the project over in Grants Pass as well. You know who I'm talking about?
Bill Boyette?
Bill Boyette.
He's not one of my staff.
Okay. Who do you have developing proactive relations with on the ground businesses and affected property owners?
Some of that is done by these folks, the public affairs staff. The public affairs staff also, because there's only one per region, except for Region 2, there are two, guide and counsel the project managers, the area managers, the district managers, the region managers on how to do that. Unfortunately, there's not enough of them to go around, and the demand for their services is larger than we can supply in most cases because there are just too many projects.
Who approves the communication strategy pre-project design and development?
A region manager would.
None of that comes through your office?
No.
Do you have any centralized training to train your region managers about what's the best way to communicate, what problems have been done in other districts?
Mr. Chair, nothing formal.
Mr. Chair, there are several different training sessions and workshops about the subject of public awareness and how to involve. As a matter of fact, one came on my email just yesterday to get people who are on the ground, project managers and others, familiar with the steps and process they should use. But it's true, it doesn't come in for central review.
Do you have the curriculum from which you teach on how to be proactive in your communication strategy pre-project?
Mr. Chair, I don't believe we've got anything formal written down. There's no program of instruction or anything of that sort.
Well, maybe I'll talk.
It's through my connection with the other teams on the highway side, and through my staff's connection at the region level.
Well, maybe Mr. Warner and you and I can sit down and talk at some particular point in time about this, because I'm not inclined to approve, or I'm inclined to monkey with this part of the budget unless we have some commitments to do some things further. And I've talked to Chair Butler a little bit about that, and you know, I've talked to the people locally in my region, but I think it needs to be administered on a statewide level, and I'd like to see something done about that.
I'm glad to talk to you about
having some proactive people that are on the ground or doing some proactive training to train your people like Bill Poyette or others who are on the ground, or include some of those kinds of things in your project development pieces, so that people, especially landowners who are adversely affected or more affected by the project, can, are dealt with in a respectful, customer service oriented manner.
That's
one of my largest concerns about this budget this go around, so I thought I'd let you know. Central Services, Mike.
Mr. Chair, I think we'll go to Budget Management Division for their overview of the Central Services Limitation, if we could.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me deal with the Department of Administrative Services Budget and Management. Speaking of the gray handout.
The gray handout. The
gray handout. It says Central Services and Other on the front.
Okay.
I'll be covering not only Central Services, but also debt service for light rail, the non-limited portion of the budget, capital improvements, and capital construction. Capital construction will be considered and recommended by the committee, but it will not be part of Senate Bill 6545. Speaking to debt service for light rail, this is in essence pass through lottery dollars for light rail that the legislature directed the agency to pay until June 30th of 2010. Yeah, 2010. Also, and it's about $20 million of biennium. The non-limited is a total of $65.1 million. It includes non-limited debt service. It includes support services and operations or the traffic signal unit. Capital improvements has 31 projects for $2.5 million. Capital construction is $1 million. And so the total for all of these, then, as shown on page 2, is $203.6 million. And I've listed ending balances as well. Representative Chair Butler's reference. On page 3, the governor's recommended budget for these areas is an 8.8% decrease from 1999-01 legislatively approved budget. It provides funding for bridge and preservation projects by reducing assessments to Central Services and by taking specific cuts in Central Services. It also, as we said, continues to pass through debt service for Westside Light Rail as directed by the legislature. Page 4 shows these areas in context of the total budget. Together, they make up 12% of the total budget. The number that I have here, $203.89 million, is slightly higher than what was shown on page 2, and the reason for that is that this particular wedge includes maritime pilots, whereas the number on the front does not. Page 5 shows by fund type. Federal is 0.1% at $115,000. This slice is completely invisible. As I was reviewing this earlier and trying to see where the line went, I've been realized that we can't see that slice because it's so small. Most of it is other funds, highway funds. Page 6 shows the same $203.6 million by budget category. And if Representative Smith were here, I would point out that over on the left where it says special payments, $10,163,632 is the Transportation Infrastructure Fund that he was interested in. In building the budget, there was one emergency board action through April of 2000, and that was for salary plan adjustments of $2.8 million. Getting to current service level was several ups and downs. Phase outs of $5 million for Y2K remediation and $10.4 million for unrealized 9901 revenue. Inflation was calculated but not taken at $3.7 million. There was a revenue reduction of $8.2 million, eight positions and eight full-time equivalents, which would have been the 2103 ballot measure 82 impact. There was a technical adjustment that adds $3 million and restores 14 positions. Again, those are positions that had been eliminated by ballot measure 82. Two fuels tax management positions are eliminated as a technical adjustment. And finally, there's a transfer of 10 field technical services positions from highway special programs, which we had also discussed in highway. This is the flip side of that transfer. Policy packages on page 8. Packages 150 through 154 all are reductions directed at the bridge and highway preservation program enhancement. The total of the reduction in these five packages is $1 million, three positions, 3.33 full-time equivalents. And you've heard about part of that in the communications overview, the $200,000 reduction in communications division. Finally, package 471, Information Systems Efficiencies, is the package that replaces temporary and contracted information technology positions with state positions. So it adds 41 positions, 35.58 full-time equivalents, replacing similar contracted positions. And it is an expenditure limitation reduction of $155,816 in 2001-03. This reduction is spread among the other divisions within the Transportation Department through reduced revenue transfers for assessments. On page 9, we have the technical adjustments that are technically not technical adjustments, but revisions after the governor's recommended budget. They total $120,837. Within capital construction in 1997, there was $1 million limitation for Lake of the Woods work. There is a request now to redistribute $750,000 of that million to three other projects within capital construction that are listed there. Also, we need to eliminate $1 placeholders for the Siskiyou Rest Area, the Baker City Maintenance Station, and East Portland Maintenance Station, because that would end up double counting placeholders that already existed in the 1999 capital construction bill. We also seek to add a $1 placeholder for a new headquarters building. Within central services, the revisions include transferring the performance measurement position to transportation development. This reduces expenditure limitation in central services $138,000. And we increased the expenditure limitation $259,000 for a dispute resolution project that begins in 9901 and goes on in 2001-03. The final page shows in tabular form the revisions that we've just discussed. And that completes my overview.
Thanks. I had a couple questions. Back to page 9.
Mm-hmm.
The capital construction piece, I'm not sure that I understand the moving the 1997 funds to those two other funds, or those three other, the redistribution?
Yeah, I can have the agency discuss the details about why these projects are chosen instead of the Lake of the Woods, but the limitation was there. It had not been used, and it's good for 6 years, and so now the agency seeks to redistribute it. I presume you can
is it in capital construction?
Mr. Chair, ODOT has an unusual budget structure in terms of how we deal with maintenance on our own buildings as compared to maintenance of the highways and dealing with construction on the highways. So the bottom line is that for maintenance of our own buildings, we use a capital construction limitation. For maintenance and construction of highways, we use services and supplies line items. So these line items were capital construction approved for these projects, and we have to get approval to make shifts within those lines, as compared to when you do a standard project, that type of approval is not required. Does that address your concern, or is there...
What were you going to do for $750,000 at Lake of the Woods?
Mr. Chair,
Lake... $1 million is what I guess what you wanted.
Mr. Chair, if you've seen Lake of the Woods as a maintenance shop, it's in pretty poor condition, and we're planning, what's happening here is shifting to make sure that we're completing these other projects that are even more major problems, and making sure we get started on the planning for Lake of the Woods. It was going to be in this biennium a major piece of work. We'll have to do that as part of next biennium. Yes, Mr. Chair.
Then I had a question on your dispute resolution project. Can you tell me what you're doing on your dispute resolution project?
Mr. Chair, that's one of the communications budget that was just wrapped up. I can try to touch on it a bit. The shift that was discussed...
He's here.
Oh, he is. Good. He touched on it briefly as he's
coming up.
He touched on the fact that we had a position that was shifted, that was split between agencies in the past, and this time we made a change in the structure of how that position is assigned.
Mr. Chair, again for the record, Patrick Cooney, Communications Division. The project is the funding is to complete the project, which began in the 01-03, in the 99-01. Budget. The total project cost is expected to be $300,000. 9901 project costs are estimated to be $41,000. The project is funded with Federal Highway Administration funds. The match is in kind, not cash. The purpose of the project is to demonstrate how structured consensus building and dispute resolution techniques can be used to improve decision making on transportation and community development projects. Specific projects and initiatives that require collaboration among a variety of stakeholders will be identified for the funding. The projects will be ones that involve contentious issues and require the balancing of economic development, transportation, land use, and housing perspectives.
What project is this being used? That's a hell of a lot of money for dispute resolution. What's it being used for?
Mr. Chair, that's the limit of what I know about this particular...
Federal funds?
Project. Yes, sir.
We can get more detail, Mr. Chair, about exactly the nature of the project.
I'd be interested to know if any of these funds were used to the task force on partnering and that piece of stuff. Those funds were being used for that. I'm concerned with what ODOT's using IDR, where you're using IDR funds. And I'd also be interested as you're looking at the dispute resolution funds, if those can be used to hire outside consultants, or if you're using internal people, if you're paying internal people to do that. I have some substantial problems, I guess, with ODOT using internal people to do their dispute resolution with cities and counties and other people.
This is on a contract.
This is
external contract.
Okay. Well, I'm interested to know where it's going and who we're funding. All right.
Mr. Chair, going on to page 164 of the overall handout, the division, Central Services Division, has five different branches or units within it: information systems, financial services, human resources, internal audit services, and support services. All those are pretty clear in terms of the kinds of functions they do, except support services, which includes our purchasing and contract management, as well as the fleet function, the facilities function. We also have a business services function within that, which is our central services limitation area. The majority of the support services division is actually non-limited, and we'll talk about that towards the end. The mission of the division relates to delivering high-quality services to the department, which basically means furnishing those services that are best provided centrally, trying to use the economy of scale and issues around consistency of financial management for the department, and deal with those things that ought to be handled in a central way. Our primary goals are to ensure quality customer service and continuous improvement as standards of practice in the organization. We try to partner with our customers who are directly state employees who are in the divisions, and indirectly and sometimes directly with the public. We're looking at making major shifts of trying to recognize the fact that we've moved from being a backroom discussion in terms of support functions to more of a part of the operation and a part of the business. If you look at, in particular, some divisions like DMV or motor carrier, they couldn't function without the information system support, as well as the other support that the division provides. So these kind of functions become a more critical part of day-to-day operations instead of an indirect function. We encourage innovation, efficiency, and related decision-making that's focused on an ethical approach. Try to use technology to aid in traffic and congestion management, traveler information, safety and incident response. All these areas are where we want to try to direct the technology to improve the services to the public. Obviously, shooting for a safe working place as well as safety for the traveling public. We want to work on making sure our employees are safe as they do the things to make it safer for the traveling public. Also to encourage a diverse workforce and make sure that we're meeting our affirmative action goals, which we can discuss if the members have a question. And promoting stewardship of the resources overall, trying to use the appropriate incentives and consequences internally in the agency to ensure good decision making around our resources, and balancing service with standards in how we look at our financial services. We provide leadership in supplying those services and then are held accountable for the level of service that we provide. We do a survey of the employees in the departments to determine what level of services we are providing and try to address those concerns that are identified. And we use an internal auditing function, which we strengthened this last year in terms of focus and trying to make sure that we're identifying risk within the department and getting the feedback that we need in order to do a sound job of financial management and controls. Next page has the organization chart for the agency. Nothing unusual there in terms of they are the basic branches and our central functions of most state agencies. Again, the one that's a little bit different is the business services area, where we have the non-limited programs of supply operations, RIPRA graphics, which relates to photography services, copying services, and other functions that are done within that area, and fleet management. The business services component of the office is, again, the one that is limited, and we'll talk more about in a few minutes.
Mike, what's your vacancy factor?
Mr. Chair, I can get you the exact percentage. Our turnover rate has averaged 9%. As far as the numbers that are vacant right now, I can get that for you.
Great, thanks.
On to the performance measures. We emphasize measurement of performance as a way to deal with both our management of the agency as well as how to communicate to our customers about expectations. Just to take a few minutes on a few of those percent information systems available, we consider that to be a major factor for us about making sure that we are serving DMV in particular, as well as all the other divisions. If DMV doesn't have the system up and running, they can't serve the customer, and in the past had been a major reason for customer delay and wait times. I'm proud to say that the group has had above 99% for a significant amount of time now. Our goal is 99%. We've achieved 99.9% for network uptime, as well as for the email, and 99.7% for web connections, 99.6% for DMV applications. So achieving above goal and looking good in the service there, and actually DMV as an entity has achieved 100% of their performance measures in a few months this last quarter, which was a major change for them from a few years ago. Financial services processing of accounts payable. I wanted to make sure that we get those accounts payable paid within 7 business days of receipt. We assume 100%. We are not quite there right now, but this is a new measure for us, a new accountability area, and we expect to achieve it within the coming biennium. Human resources training. The Oregon benchmark in that area is 50% of employees receiving 20 hours or more of training per year. We achieve that level and expect to achieve it within the governor's recommended budget. Time to fill an employee vacancy. The agency goal is 75% within 12 weeks, with an achievement level of 60%. I should comment that this is, in times of reduction, it makes it difficult for us to manage on a regular basis what the situation is on filling of positions, because sometimes managers determine that they aren't going to act as quickly to fill a vacancy. And so in these cases, we have a business to comply with and get information moving, but at the same time, sometimes the managers are not filling as quickly if the budget is being reduced and they're trying to work through options. Support services, building condition, this is an area where we're trying to make sure that our fleet and facilities functions are correlating well to our highway services. Rather than having highway functions and pavement conditions be at 78% fair or better and have the buildings be at 100%, our goal is to try to make sure that we're at least maintaining the support functions of the facilities and fleet close to the same level of condition as exists on the pavement, and to balance those priorities as we would any projects in the STIP. So the building condition situation right now is that we're at about 81% of what we consider to be fair or better, with a target being 78% within the budget. Mr. Chair, the factors affecting services are, again, not unusual within the department. Constrained revenue has been a major piece, as mentioned by the Budget Management Division. The budget is down 8.8%. There are a lot of ins and outs for those reasons. But the fact is that the administrative elements of the department were reduced significantly in order to shift as much money as we could into the preservation and pavement areas. Increasing costs and procurement requirements caused significant challenges for us and become a problem in terms of working through processes. We're working now with the Department of Justice and the Department of Administrative Services on improvements in particular the information technology, but for that matter all contracting processes to make sure that we're getting those done timely. That's been a concern. Competing priorities are always a concern for us, and in order to work with those issues, we work with customer satisfaction groups, in particular in the information technology area, where we have an executive steering committee that makes those priority decisions between different programs and where the limited funds we do have will be applied. Similar discussions occur in human resources and in the budget area to some extent. Minimizing administrative costs while ensuring management control and information sought by the agency, the legislature, and the public. As noticed in each data, we're in Ways and Means. There's a lot of information sought by legislators, a lot of information sought by the public, and trying to balance that issue with reduction issues as well as balancing it with management controls, which at times are more costly. And we're trying to address those risk management kinds of concerns, making sure that there is an appropriate process in terms of how we make payments and how we deal with finances within the agency. Some of those have resulted in increased costs. And I mentioned earlier how overall we're trying to move from the back, recognizing that we're moving from the back office function to much more of a tied-in function with our customers and a 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week provision of services in the IT area, or looking at how we deal with accounting and personnel support, making sure we get the customers what they need in a timely fashion. The administrative cost area is another area of complexity. As Patrick mentioned in his discussion about communications, the majority of what we do, of course, is administrative. We are the administrative and financial portion of the agency. A core mission is to provide administrative services, so therefore the administrative function is going to be a sizable percentage of our overall budget. Within the Central Services Division administrative area, there are three reasons for the adjustments that you see here in terms of why it is up slightly. The major reason is that highway technicians have been moved into the Central Services Division, as I mentioned in the department overview, as a way to consolidate and provide services more efficiently for the whole department, serving motor carrier and port of entries, as well as DMV offices, as well as highway, and not just keeping those techs within the highway division. Secondly, outside assessment, Fraser, et cetera, are up pretty significantly in different assessment formulas that they're using for the new biennium, as well as other entities. And then lastly, we did make significant reduction in the current biennium. Many of those reductions were in areas that are not considered part of administration in terms of new application development in the information technology area in particular. With that reduction in an area that's not administration, it results in a higher percentage in the administration area. So that's the reason for the three reasons for the primary increase there. In terms of efficiencies and cost controls, ODOT has initiated a partnership, and it was mentioned in the maintenance discussion by Doug Tindall with Chemeketa Community College, and we're looking at ways to take that experience and expand it to other community colleges around the state for the delivery of training programs, shooting for an overall cost savings or improved service. We're working through that now and doing the costing that was mentioned and requested earlier. We're trying to also deal specifically with other areas of training that have been pointed out as significant concerns. One of those is endangered species work, and making sure we're responding to the needs around that for our maintenance personnel as well as others that are on site. Support Services has worked with the Department of Justice and Administrative Services on reengineering major parts of the process of procurement and contracting. I mentioned that we're going through that now with them. We have achieved significant success already on what's called a rapid process improvement approach, where we sat down with them and negotiated or worked through several issues to improve pieces of it. We have a ways to go, but we're working that through. Financial Services guided the agency through the budget reduction process this last time, where the agency as a whole had to go through several elements of reduction as we looked at reduced revenue available and achieved that through the budget that's before you now. And Support Services has worked with the Department of Corrections to find mutually beneficial ways to use the inmate labor as well as produce highway signs with savings. And we have what we think is a good market niche for them in terms of what they do and in terms of what the employees within the department accomplish.
Mike, why don't we just skip ahead to 171 to the central packages piece.
Okay.
And kind of what I'd like to do is just go through the central packages and policy packages real quick and then spend a little bit of time on the financial audit results.
Happy to do that, Mr. Chair. Central packages on 171, unlike some of the divisions, ours have quite a bit there in terms of the central packages. I'll just briefly touch on those before we go to the regular policy packages. Significant amount of reduction in the current biennium, the $10.1 million there. We have the reduction to keep programs at the 9901 level of $6.6 million. Y2K phase out, which means it was a phase out of the expenditure in this last biennium. There is no expenditure for Y2K next biennium. I think inflation is standard as well as a vacancy area there. The state government service charge increases, when I mentioned those are fixed or assessed costs. The House Bill 2082 position adjustment was off of the bill that did not, the bill that passed, but the citizens reversed this last time. And then I mentioned the field technicians transfer from highway, which was a major component for our administrative cost increases. Those are the essential packages. The primary packages are on 172. And
skip the IS efficiencies package.
471, yes. Which is
just don't worry about 471 and let's go on to the next.
Okay.
151, 154.
151, 154, the reallocation of bridge and preservation is the package that virtually all division have that as part of our reduction. We're shifting money over to bridge and preservation.
Okay.
Would you like me to not hit 471 on discussion of IS efficiencies? Are you okay on that?
I'm okay on that.
Okay. Thank you.
I got information from my other committee, plenty of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. More than
you probably wanted one here. We'll let the record stand.
Okay. Mr. Chair, then moving on, unless there's questions on what we've covered so far, I could move on to the capital improvement, capital construction project. What we've got, I touched it briefly when we talked a few moments ago, we have in the area of maintaining buildings, we use the capital construction limitation and capital improvement as part of our budget. For projects that are on the highway, we don't use capital construction, we use services and supplies. So individual lines for individual projects such as Siskiyou, such as Baker City, are approved in the budget like any other agency dealing with capital construction. For highway projects, that approach is not used. So what you see before you is a request to make the adjustment, as mentioned by the analyst, to talk about making some shifts within this area so that we are covering finishing these old projects rather than moving to significant new ones. The one that is a significant change is the adding $1 for the placeholder on the new headquarters building. If the members turn to page 9 of the analyst write-up, you can see the summary of all that. And maybe the surprise for the members was the $1 placeholder for the new headquarters building, just to make sure we're communicating about that piece. The ODOT headquarters building was built about 1949, 1950, and the building has significant issues around seismic as well as heating, ventilating, air conditioning systems. We have a choice, which we're going through now on the analysis, to determine what the best course of action will be to respond to that. We believe that the best return on the investment will be to do a pretty major remodel, similar to what happened in the public service building and in the labor and industries building, both of which are about the same age or newer. And we'll do that review, expect to be back to the emergency board with the information about the review so a determination can be made about moving ahead for some planning funds in this item, coming back to the '03 session with a plan on how to deal with the issue.
Budget notes.
Mr. Chair, on budget notes, we had several. The first related to the department being directed to investigate implementation of an integrated financial management reporting and control system. We did that, reported back to the JLCIMT, the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management Technology, as well as the emergency board, and came up with basically three options. I won't take too much time here because this does relate to your other job here. I'll mention it briefly. One is an integrated system, which will be a full enterprise resource management plan approach. We also looked at the state financial management system, both an approach managed by DAS and an approach managed by ODOT, and then also at just maintaining our current system and fixing what we call a transportation environment accounting management system, or the acronym TEAMS, and what the cost would be for those four approaches. What came back, and then also evaluate not only costs but also risks that are involved as well as the benefits. And the results of that analysis indicated that the best return on investment long term would be to go to an enterprise resource plan approach to integrate the entire system. Of course, the costs for that are significant, and so we're looking at in the interim here until at least 03, working to make sure we've outlined what kind of improvements need to occur with the team system, the current accounting system, and coming back to the O3 session saying here's what we think the plan should be for the long-term future, and if resources were available because of some change within the transportation funding scheme, possibly being able to move to a better return on investment approach. The second one was relating to the proposal to implement a system to provide for projected expenditures on each project on a biennial basis. As the chair probably knows, we do modeling and make assumptions about the cost for projects on a historical basis. We don't budget for each individual one on a biennial basis because the projects in the past have been significantly over one biennium. We wanted to make sure that we have targeted that down within project delivery to estimate how much it will cost within a biennium, and have provided a couple options to the emergency board. At the board meeting, at least there was concurrence with the report, which says we should continue on our current approach, which is to take the next 3 years to work through that and come back over that time period, working up a system that will deal with project budgeting on a biennial basis, rather than using a state of Washington approach, which was about 15 FTE and almost as many million dollars up front. The last budget note there is working with the Department of Corrections to develop a plan to achieve cost savings and operational efficiencies in the science shop activities. We have submitted to your staff an agreement with the Department of Corrections regarding this plan, and I think we have found a good, as I said earlier, market niche for the corrections people and inmates to work through providing science activities for us.
Satisfied with that?
Mr. Chair, I'm satisfied with the report. I'm not sure that it addresses the legislation. That there be one shot.
Distribute copies of that to the committee, and maybe that's, I don't know, Tom's interested in that, but
okay.
We can do that. We had significant conversations about that last time.
So. Yes, we did, Mr. Chair. It is a report that's signed by Department of Corrections as well as by us, and we think is the best match for resources that everybody has involved.
Governmental agreement.
Yeah, that's it. Last area, Mr. Chair, is financial and performance audit results. We showed a few examples here. I don't want to take too much time, but the fact is that we have an internal audit function which also does a significant amount of work relating to identifying risks and concerns within the department. What we've identified here are a few that were done by both our internal audit function as well as by the audits division. Audits division does its regular annual financial statement review. The biggest series of audits that they did is at the bottom of this page, the overhead costs. In 1998, they did four other audits for us, which we reported last session. These all looked at different elements of the department, from construction to maintenance to overhead issues. This one we pointed out because it was to be the beginning point for a significant review of overhead costs on the state as a whole. They looked at ODOT, found the complexity of trying to compare overhead costs across one, even just one agency, I think they've kind of pulled back from the agenda to try to compare overhead costs across state government. It was useful for us, though, on completing our true product cost initiative and doing cost accounting for the agency. The other two that we pointed out related to new credit card software as an example of where we're trying to move into good use of credit cards. In this particular example, the motor carrier division was working through and trying to establish guidelines, and the internal audit came in and gave some suggestions for ways to reduce risk and increase controls regarding the use of that credit card. And the financial management internal controls relates to a significant review of our teams or the transportation environment accounting management system that we currently have, and trying to make sure that as we look at a very decentralized system in ODOT and how decisions are made on the front line all over the state, geographically dispersed, how we can make sure that the same person isn't involved in both authorizing and receiving a check and being reducing the kind of concern about, or increasing the concern about controls in that area. So we've done some recommendations there, and although it's uncomfortable in the culture of an organization to make changes to centralize, we are making some shifts that we think will reduce the risk and hopefully not hurt our efficiency too much in the process, but meanwhile make it much more safe to protect from any risks in that area.
Mike, I had two other questions that other members asked me before they left. At one point, I guess, when Chair Hubert was on the Transportation Commission, he said that there was going to be a It was alleged that he said that there would be a 10% across the board cut in central services. I don't know when or if or how that statement was made, but apparently that statement is alleged to have been made. And over the course of when that happened, how has that been handled? And maybe you could just respond back in writing.
Well, Mr. Chair, I can give you an answer right now, I think, and if you would like to have more, we can do that. There was discussion of a $10 million reduction, which is about 10%. And actually, we did have a package, if you will, for the commission that showed a full 10%. The result of the discussion with the commission was that the $10.6 million, I believe, which was the amount of reduction in the current biennium, is the amount they determined to do, rather than the full 10%, which is a couple million more. They did add in $1 million more than the reductions that the rest of the divisions got, in terms of just going to the flat for next biennium. We took about a $1 million reduction in our division, as well as a reduction also in communications and transportation development. So the final result for that was that we did cut $10.6 million, that we did outline what 10% would be, and the commission fell back from doing the full 10% by about $1 million, as I recall.
Can we get a copy of what those recommendations were?
Yes.
And then the second question was how do you centrally coordinate? You know, while I think it's well and good that you meet the training benchmarks that were discussed before, 50% of your staff gets 20 hours annually, I think is what it is. How do you coordinate who goes to these national training types of programs? Are you sending 15, 20 people to these national training programs, or are you sending a few to disseminate the information? We'd just like some information back on who's attending national conferences, how many people, what those cost per person, what those cost on a per person basis or on average, and then maybe why, you know, if it looks excessive, why? I think it's basically the question.
Mr. Chair, we can get you information about our out-of-state travel, and I can also highlight where the larger amounts of out-of-state travel are. And if you'd like, I can go to the level of actually determining how many people go to each one of these. That's a little bit of work you want us to go through, determining how many people go to each one of these trips.
We just want to know what you do to centrally.
Okay.
How you centrally manage?
I can answer that right now to some extent.
Can you just put that in writing, because another member asked that. So
okay.
I'd just like to get that in writing.
I'll put it in mind, if I could put 30 seconds on the record. The Department of Administrative Services rules on the subject say that you send one person unless you document why you're sending more than one person. That's what we do, is we document the situation about why others are going. We have a few conferences where it's the one annual conference that deals with a broad spectrum of things in DMV, for instance, or in transportation issues for our policy sections. Those two areas in particular have once-a-year conferences where there's so many concurrent sessions that we do authorize more. Correct. But we'll get you more information to show how that works.
Thanks. Susie?
Mr. Chair, Chair, just one other thing. When you come back on your presentation, it might be instructive for, especially for the newer members, on how dollars get from the SIP to the budget.
The program budget has a little coverage on that. We also have, I think, a chart that will help on the discussion of this.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Did we get through what was on the agenda today? We got to maritime pilots, and you guys don't look like maritime pilots to me. And I know I created all kinds of havoc with them last time, and I intend to do the same thing this time. You could pass that along, though.
So, Mr. Chair, I believe we're done with the ODOT presentation. We'll be ready for work session when you are.
Have a nice weekend,
everybody. Thank you very much.
You still don't get work session until Tuesday.